Today, we're going to be talking about eating disorders. And this young adult woman got down to 35 kgs. Yes, she's recovering from anorexia.
Today, our topic is eating disorders. And to protect her privacy, the names have been changed. So I'd like to welcome today, Julie. Julie, thank you for being here with us.
You're welcome.
I guess I'd like to start by finding out, how old were you when you realized your relationship with food was not healthy?
I would say probably when I was about 14.
How did that manifest?
I think it manifested in my body image. I started to be more aware of what other people would eat, what I would eat. I would notice my mom and how she looked at her own body and how she looked at other people's bodies.
And were you heavy?
No, I was not. Okay.
And let me just clarify, too. Your eating disorder was?
Anorexia.
Okay. So you were a normal weight.
Yeah. My entire life, people had always been very focused on my body and always very focused that I could eat so much and not gain weight. And so there actually was always a lot of focus on that.
People jealous that you could eat whatever you wanted?
I think they may have been a little bit, but I also, to me, it just felt like a lot of pressure. It kind of felt like there was an expectation to make sure I could always be that way.
Always be able to eat what you wanted,
right,
and stay thin.
Mm-hmm.
As you went along and you were a normal weight the entire time, now were there eating disorders in your family?
No, there wasn't a history of eating disorders. There was a history of depression in the women in my family. And I know that there was sort of a history of body image issues, but no history of eating disorders.
I think the typical picture of an anorexic girl is a white girl in America from a middle to upper middle class family who's a perfectionist. Does that describe you at all?
Yeah, I would say that it does.
Like all the way straight across the board? Were you a perfectionist, like in school and detail and that sort of thing?
Yeah, and I didn't actually realize it until I went to treatment. I didn't realize it until probably this past couple of years that I was a perfectionist.
Well, the great thing about that is once you get the disease out of the way, it can serve you
yes,
very well.
Yes.
Now, this is kind of a sideline. Do you think that our focus in the whole media and magazines and girls being so thin, do you think that this kind of plays into the eating disorder?
I think that it does, but at the same time, I think a lot of it has to do with whether or not you have a predisposition to let that affect you. I think a lot of people can look at that and end up with an eating disorder, but I think that certain factors have to be there first. I think that if you have a healthy body image, and I think that if you feel confident, then those aren't going to affect you as much. I think if you have a history of depression, they're going to affect you more. I think if you have a history of a negative body image, that's going to affect you more.
That's a great point. That's what one of the therapists, when I asked him about violent games for kids, does it make them angry? He said, no, not unless you're predisposed.
Right.
So it's basically the same thing. So you were a very young adult when your eating disorder fully kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to trigger that?
Actually, what happened was I was going through a really big life-changing event. I was finishing up with a degree and I was moving and I was leaving a lifestyle that I was very comfortable with. When this big life change occurred, it was very stressful to me. And in the process, I was also ending a relationship. So when that happened, I simultaneously decided to go on a diet. Looking back, I realized that the diet was an easier thing to focus on and it made me feel really good. It made me feel really excited. And that was very positive, and it took the focus and the stress away about this big life change. As the move got closer, the exercising and the restricting became more and more intense. And by the time that I finally completed my move, it was full blown.
Did you start out, you started at a normal weight?
Yes.
So you really didn't need to lose any weight, probably?
No.
Okay. And how much weight did you lose in that initial first blast?
Initially, I think I probably lost about 15 pounds.
And you loved it?
Uh-huh. Yes, I loved it.
And then were you did you exercise or?
No, normally I did not exercise. I never really actually enjoyed exercising. It was not fun for me to exercise.
But did it become fun?
No, it never became fun. It became something that I had to do to relax, to feel okay.
So you had to restrict your food and exercise in order to feel, like, right.
Right, in order to feel calm, in order to feel like things were in control.
And what size did you get down to? Like a zero?
Yeah, zero. I mean, I actually had a hard time finding clothes. I was shopping in the kids' department. By the time I moved, I could had a really hard time finding clothing.
And did you think you looked great?
Yeah, I did. And I thought I looked good.
And when people would say, oh my God, you're too skinny, what did you think?
I thought maybe, but I also thought maybe they were just jealous.
Yeah. I think that's pretty typical. Mm-hmm. Was your family starting to get worried at this point? Did they notice? Obviously, if you were down to below a size zero, they had to notice. What was their thought?
They were very concerned when they first, after I had moved, they were concerned and they started to bring it up. I kind of fought them on it. I was very defensive about it and I was very argumentative. And so they kind of said, well, she's a young adult. We need to let her make her own decisions. But it was a few months after that that things got even worse, and then that's when they...
What? How much worse? Like,
that was about 15 pounds further.
You mean you lost a total of 30 pounds?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Because I'm looking at you, and you're little as a minute right now, mm-hmm. So I cannot imagine. I mean, you must have been... How low? What was your final low weight? Do you mind saying?
No, it was fine. It was about 74 pounds.
Holy smokes, Julie.
Yeah. So that, and I, what had happened is I was not thinking clearly. And so at some point, I did need my parents to come in and take over.
And so did they intervene on you, basically?
Yeah, I think we came to a decision together. I was at a point where I didn't want to give it up, but I knew I needed to, but I couldn't do it on my own.
And how did they were living in a different state. How did they come visit and see how sick you were?
They had come to visit a couple times, were very concerned. I flew home for Christmas, and after that holiday, my mom flew back with me and took me to treatment.
So you went to a treatment center right then and there?
Yes.
And were you starting to have any physical symptoms?
My hair was falling out. Trying to think what else. Well, I was having horrible headaches. Things like that were happening.
Heart palpitations?
Yeah, I was having heart palpitations.
Probably didn't feel very good, did you?
No, I felt awful. I felt absolutely terrible.
And what was an average day like of what you would eat?
I would go all day without eating, and then when I got home, I'd have steamed vegetables, and that was about it.
So you were working.
Mm-hmm.
You'd gotten your first job out of school at this point.
Yes.
And you ate nothing all day.
Right.
And how were you performing on the job?
You know, I look back and I have no idea how I worked. I mean, I really was doing okay. I mean, all of my paperwork was done correctly and I was not missing anything and attending meetings. I mean, when I got home, I was having a breakdown. I mean, that took every single ounce of energy I had. And by Thursdays, I remember crying my way home because I could not do anymore.
So when did it stop feeling good to be so thin?
It stopped feeling good probably about 7 months into it.
Were you a drinker?
Yes.
So did you not eat and drink also?
Mm-hmm.
And was drinking an issue, a problem for you?
Yeah, it was. And that was sort of part of what kept it going, I think, as long as it did. Because what I would look forward to all day was knowing that when I got home, I could eat my one meal and then I could also drink. And that was pretty much what I was living for.
So were you depressed?
Yes, but I didn't know that I was depressed.
Right. I mean, looking back, mm-hmm. You can see you were depressed.
Right.
And thank God your parents intervened.
Yeah, thank God.
So we're talking basically to parents now. And if you were kind of looking in on your situation, what sort of things were you doing? And how, obviously, if you weren't living at home, you weren't having to hide a whole lot. But I'm guessing you had to hide some, mm-hmm. You know, when you were going home for holidays. What types of things would you tell a parent to look for?
The first thing I have to say, when I talk to my parents about the past and about how everything progressed, one thing that they tell me that makes them upset is that they didn't listen to their gut. You know, my mom talks about the first time I came home when I had first started exercising. And she thought I looked a little thin, but she mentioned it, and I kind of shrugged it off and told her not to worry. But she had a feeling in her gut that something wasn't right. I think that there's a strong denial factor that came from me, but that also came from my parents. I think it's okay to speak up, and I think it's okay to, even if you feel like you're bugging your kids, it's okay.
So trust your intuition. I think as parents, we know, and sometimes we don't want to know what we know, but you're saying listen to your gut and act on it, even if it makes your kid mad.
Yes.
Like, did you start doing like kind of the classic anorexic things, like wearing baggy clothes to cover up how thin you were?
You know, I never did that because I was always very proud of it. I never covered it up.
You were proud of how thin you were?
I was. And, you know, when I look back and I hear about people wearing baggy clothes, I didn't do that because I never thought that I looked too thin. But I also didn't do it because I was kind of hoping that somebody would reach out and say, and sit me down and say, you need help.
Deep down, you didn't want to continue on like you were doing, but you couldn't stop yourself.
Right. I think that a lot of girls with eating disorders have a really difficult time asking for help. And that's a theme that I saw when I was in treatment. A lot of girls don't think that they're sick. And they go into treatment and they say, I didn't want to come here because I didn't think I was sick enough.
And in the meantime, what? They're being wheeled around in a
wheelchair
exactly. because they can't. And when you got to the treatment center that you went to, did they immediately like start treating you medically, like with fluids? Or what did that scenario look like?
They started me off on just very small portion meals, and they just checked our vital signs every morning and every night. Luckily, I didn't have any permanent damage to any of my organs.
That is a big blessing.
It is.
And then they began to basically refeed you. Was that hard?
Oh, yeah. It was much more difficult than I thought it would be because, I mean, physically it was difficult because my body wasn't used to the food.
Right.
But what drives eating disorders are emotions and traumatic issues. And so by refeeding your body, you have to deal with all of those issues that you ran away from. And that was what was hard.
So did the feelings start to come up as you began to refeed?
Yes.
And how long were you in treatment?
About 3 months.
Oh, wow. You were in for long term then, not just your average 2, 3, 4 weeks.
No, it was about a month and a half inpatient and then a month and a half outpatient.
So by the time you got there, though, you knew you needed to be there.
Yes.
So you weren't real resistant?
Mm-mm.
No?
No. I wanted to be there and I knew it was going to be hard, but
you said you didn't realize at the time that you were depressed. Now looking back, did they put you on antidepressants or anything like that to kind of help with the emotional?
Yeah, they did. They did start me on some medications to kind of help balance that out, along with counseling and group therapy. And
obviously, it all went together. But do you think that that helped getting your biochemistry straightened out as well?
I do think that it did. I fought it initially. I didn't want to do that. But looking back, I don't think that it really can be done without the help of medication, at least temporarily.
And at least at the beginning like that, because you probably, I'm guessing you've screwed up your brain chemistry too, as well as your body chemistry. So did you have like feelings like you wanted to disappear, you wanted to die? Was there any of that kind of suicidal ideation that went with the anorexia?
I didn't have the feeling of wanting to disappear, but I definitely was at a point where I wanted to die. It was more like life was feeling so overwhelming that I didn't know what option I had. Overcoming the eating disorder was extremely overwhelming, and like living my life was overwhelming. So I kind of just hoped if I went to sleep some night, I wouldn't wake up.
It was kind of a passive suicidal thought.
Right.
What happened with the drinking? Are you able to drink normally now, or did you have to give up drinking also?
When I was in treatment, they put me in a group that was a dual diagnosis group, and it was for substance abuse as well as the eating disorder. Since I have left treatment, I have been drinking socially, but it has not become anything like it was before going into treatment. It's more social, and it's not an isolated kind of
not like thing. You're looking forward to getting home and having your drink and your one little vegetable.
No, nothing like that.
So how long have you gotten recovery?
It's been about 2 years.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
And the thing with eating disorders, it's so tricky. It isn't like alcohol where you can go, okay, I'm never going to have that again. You're constantly, I mean, and especially our country, we're so bombarded by those images. How do you, like, be in the world? And do you have to self-talk? Or, I mean, obviously 2 years in, but what was it like at the beginning as you started to kind of come back out into the world?
Well, at the beginning, it was baby steps. It was, I mean, I don't buy magazines. I just don't. I can't look at them because I know they're going to be triggering.
In what sense?
Well, I know if I buy a fashion magazine or any kind of magazine that you see at the grocery store with women and models, if I look at it, I'm going to wish I had that body. And I have to work on just liking what I have and being okay with it. But initially, it was baby steps with that kind of thing. It was baby steps with the meal plan. And sometimes I had to go to therapy once a week, and sometimes I had to go twice a week. And so it was almost one day at a time.
So just like any type of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
But you're smart. You avoid. It's like staying out of the bars. You don't hit up the fashion magazines.
Right.
When you would eat meals with your family, when you would go home for the holidays, for example, and how did you kind of, did you fake it about how much you ate? How did that work? Especially holidays, huge meals.
I did fake it. If we sat down, if it was a holiday and we sat down for a meal, I would say that I had snacked a lot earlier, so I wasn't hungry. Or other things. It was kind of easy for me to get away with it because I had been vegan for a few years. So it meant, you know, I didn't eat dairy and I didn't eat meat. So I could say, oh, that has cheese on it, or oh, that was next to the meat. And so it was very easy for me to say that I couldn't eat things.
Now, do you think, because I'm wondering if this is sometimes kind of a precursor to the eating disorder is changing and going on to some real strict, not that everybody that's a vegan has an eating disorder. I don't want to imply that, or raw foodist or whatever in any way. But if you're predisposed, do you think that might have been like the beginning of it a little bit?
You know, I do. Looking back, I remember when I became vegan, it was because someone who I was dating was vegan. And the first thought in my head was, maybe I can lose weight.
Okay.
But then I was vegan for 4 years. I never did lose weight and I got over it. But, you know, it was sort of that thought process intertwined with the veganism. And so it was very easy to get away with the eating disorder and restricting foods when, you know, when it started.
Let me guess. If you walk into a restaurant and you look at the menu, I'll bet you can tell me every calorie of every food on that menu.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know how to order safe. I know how to order the safest thing on a menu.
So this might actually be another little tip. If your kids, like, automatically look at it and go, oh, that's 150 calories.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
If they're looking at labels at the grocery store, if they're pulling things out of the cabinet and telling you that this is a good food or this is a bad food, that is a negative sign.
And did you ever venture into bulimia or binge eating or any of the other types of eating disorders?
Actually, when I was in recovery, about a year in, I started acting out with bulimia, which surprised me because I had never done that before.
And how did you kind of rein yourself in from that?
That was a big challenge, and I'm still, you know, it kind of was really intense for a couple months, and then just talking it out in therapy, becoming more aware of what brought on those episodes and understanding why I was doing it, and then finding techniques and strategies to avoid it. I mean, it was all sort of cognitive behavioral therapy strategies.
So did you have some sort of a life change again that kind of brought this on, or did it appear to be out of the blue?
You know, initially it appeared to be out of the blue, but looking back, I think it was typically stress-related. When I would get stressed out, I would try to stuff those feelings down with food. It was just calming to me, mm-hmm. and also feelings of loneliness, living in a new place, not knowing anybody, not knowing what to do with my time. if I was bored, that was just something to do.
So you would comfort yourself with the food, mm-hmm. then you would regret it feeling you were going to be fat, and then right. you would purge.
Right.
And what's the worst thing that a parent can do if they have a child they suspect has an eating disorder?
Worst thing that they can do, you know, this is something you hear all the time from people with eating disorders, but act as the food police. You know, you don't want to sit over your son or daughter and ask them, what are you eating? Or tell them what they're going to order from a menu, or, you know, fix them their plate at dinner. You do not want to take away that control from them, because they're going to act out in another way somehow.
So you can't be their monitor, but if you suspect that your child has an eating disorder, do you think it would be helpful to sit down and say, do you think you have an eating disorder? Or is the nature of the disease going to be to deny it?
Well, I think the best thing you can do is let them know that you feel like something is going on and that you're concerned, and let them know that you are there if they need to talk. You don't need to label it for them, and you don't need to tell them what you think is going on, but to let them know that you see something going on. Because I know, for me personally, all I wanted was somebody to say, I think something's going on.
So you wanted that recognition. What happened where you could actually be able to agree with your parents that you needed to go into treatment?
It got to the point where I knew I didn't have control, and I was in a lose-lose situation. I knew I was either going to die or I was going to have to go to treatment. So I had to pick one or the other. And so I went to treatment, but
how did you know? Because the nature of the disease mm-hmm. is to not know. So how did you really get to that point where you knew, I am dying here?
I got to the point where my quality of life, that's when I look back on it, I just remember that phrase, quality of life. And I was not so far gone that I couldn't remember myself. I had remembered life before an mm-hmm. eating disorder, and I remembered how it could be. And I remembered it could be so much more. Whereas a lot of girls with their eating disorders have had them for 9 years, 10 years, and they don't know life without it. And so they don't know anything else. For me, I knew that there was something better. And I think I was fortunate in that way.
So what did your mother and father say to you that they had finally, like, realized this is so serious, we need to take action?
My mom sat down, and it was just in a very loving way, one-on-one, and just said, I'm worried about you, and, you know, we love you, and we know how hard this is for you, and we want to help you. You've been trying to do this on your own, and we've watched you do it, and we've let you try. And I don't think you can do it on your own. And it took a lot of talking.
So that was the beginning of mm-hmm. the process. How long from the time that you sat down and had that conversation before you actually ended up going to treatment?
Probably 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought this was like overnight, like almost like you were home for the Christmas holidays and ba-bam.
We started talking in October when they were visiting me, and they were very concerned. And then we talk on the phone a lot, and I would be crying, and they would be telling me, you know, we know, and they still felt like they couldn't tell me what to do. They knew it wasn't going to do anything, and they knew if they told me what to do or tried to put some kind of control upon me, I would just go further into my eating disorder.
And do you think that is the case?
Yes.
So this is where it's a very fine line then as
yeah.
a parent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think when your child is, you know, 14, 15, this may be easier, but a lot of girls don't manifest eating disorders until they're in their late teens, early 20s.
Right.
So this is a tricky thing. So they had to begin the discussion.
Right.
And after 3 months, you finally said, this is it. Like, I'm ready.
Well, after 3 months, I became scared. I started to feel just so out of control, and I started to become afraid of things that were happening in my body, and I handed it over.
So that's great. So you were able to go to your parents mm-hmm. and they were able to be supportive to you. Yes. And what's it like now when you go home? I mean, I think every family's got a big production around food for the holidays. How is that for you?
Initially, when I was out of treatment, it was still very anxiety provoking. For a long time, foods made me anxious, but I was learning to, you know, get over that. Where I am right now in my recovery, I just feel blessed when I go to family gatherings and I can eat normally and socialize normally and, you know, nobody's worrying. And I just think it's an absolute miracle, to be honest.
Well, it is. I mean, you sound like you were near death and you've come back.
It does feel that way, yeah.
Julie, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I am very grateful that you've got the recovery under your belt to be able to talk to us about this from a real clean perspective. So I thank you for sharing this.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
We appreciate you listening to Daring Parenting on Hoodsprayed FM. You can catch the show twice a week, Thursday mornings from 10 to 10:30, Tuesday night, 7 to 7:30, and you can listen anytime at your convenience on daringparenting.com. On the homepage, just go to the tab that says Radio Shows. We hope you'll join us again next week. If you have questions, you can send a private message to our Facebook page, or you can email lisa@daringparenting.com. Until next time, I hope you'll be a daring parent.